This is the Cornerstone Companion Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Vic McCracken, Assistant Professor of Theology and Ethics at Abilene Christian University. This podcast features interviews of ACU Cornerstone Spotlight speakers, students, and some outside voices. Thank you for listening in. I have with me in the studio today Dr. Christina Campos, ACU Assistant Professor of Communication in the Department of Communication and the ACU Honors College. Dr. Campos was also the spotlight lecturer for week two of our Cornerstone class. Dr. Campos, welcome to our show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So I have something really special that I want to share with you today, Christina. I had the pleasure last week of actually getting to interview Kim McQuarrie. He was the producer of the 30 Days documentary, the clips from which we actually saw during your lecture today. And I'd like to play for you the interview, and it's pretty straightforward. But then afterwards, Kim and I, we had a chance to talk, and he said a few other things that I thought were so fitting, especially in light of what you shared with us today in your lecture. So I thought I would share those with you as well and get your reaction.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Good. Well, I will begin by introducing Kim. Kim is Kim McQuarrie. He's multiple Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker and producer of the 30 Days documentary chronicling Minuteman Frank George's journey with a family of illegal immigrants. McQuarrie is the author of three previous books on Peru, and he lived in that country for 5 years, exploring many of the locations and hidden regions he chronicles in his new book, The Last Day of the Inca. So at this time, I'll go ahead and play my interview.
Kim, welcome to our podcast.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, Kim, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you. One of them has to do with, first of all, how you got involved in producing the 30 Days documentary that our students have watched.
The company I did that was a company named Actual Reality, and they're based in Los Angeles, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I knew people working on that series, and they were looking for somebody who had anthropological experience, also someone who was fluent in Spanish, and since I lived in Latin America for a long time, I fit those characteristics, so they hired me for that particular project, because a lot of it was, was in Spanish.
Excellent. As a anthropologist, did you see your experience as an anthropologist affecting the way you went about producing the film?
Well, there's a lot of, I lived in Latin America for quite a while. I lived down in Peru for 5 years. And, it was a very interesting project for me with my anthropological background, just because there's always, and it continues today in America, the idea of the other and of different ethnic groups and how they get along. And during the time of filming this, I was working on a book, The Last Days of the Incas, which is all about the conquistadors and how they conquered the Inca Empire. So there was a lot of parallels there. So yeah, I would say all the way through it, I couldn't help but think about all kinds of experiences I'd had in anthropological as well.
Excellent. So the drama of the episode really revolves around this interaction that Frank George, the Minuteman, has with the Gonzalez family, the family that he lives with for 30 days. And the question, of course, is whether or not Frank himself is going to be changed in any way. I'd like you, first of all, to talk about what you observed with Frank and also with the immigrant family. As filming progressed, what did you expect to see? And was there anything that happened in the interaction that was surprising to you?
Well, the whole series is predicated upon putting two different people together, or groups of people together, who have opposing viewpoints on important issues. And one of the difficulties of making a series is that you never know beforehand what's going to happen, because in a sense it is very much an experiment. I mean, you can have people with opposing views. They might not talk to each other. They might not like each other just for personality reasons. They might become best friends. You have no idea. And, of course, in making a film, the best films are films that have a character or characters that go through a transformation. So as a filmmaker, as we're watching the daily rushes and observing what's going on, you're wondering, is either side changing? Is anybody changing whatsoever? And that's always a difficult thing, because if they don't change, if nobody changes, you're going to have a pretty lousy film. I think one of the really interesting things about the film is that, the whole purpose of the film as well is to humanize different ideologies, in a sense. You hear about conflict, just like right now, the Muslims and Christians, and nobody ever even realizes what a specific family is like. And so in this case, people hear about Minutemen, but nobody's ever met a Minuteman. You talk about illegal immigration, but who really knows an illegal immigrant? So it's humanizing both sides of the conflict. And I think that was pretty successful in this case. So, however, it took about midway in this 30-day process before we saw either side start to budge. And it was really Frank who started to budge. And once he lived with the family, he started to realize that these were real human beings, and some of his viewpoints changed, and he became friends with them. And you saw kind of a shift about midway, and especially, I'm going to give away the plot, but he goes down to Mexico, and that impacts his opinion as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you see your own feelings about the family or about Frank or about the issue of illegal immigration? Did you see your own feelings being affected anyway while you were filming?
Yeah, I was predisposed not to like them. It seemed very hard. It seemed very hardline attitude towards, you know, a very complex problem. And I'm sure my reaction would have been different depending on who the Minuteman was. But what I guess I was surprised by was the humanness of Frank. I mean, Frank turned out to be a very, compassionate human being. He had not split personality, but he had two sides to him. He had the hardline Minuteman side, which is ideologically based, and then he had his human side, which was also influenced by Latin America. He was Cuban by birth. So what surprised me the most, I guess, was something that had such hardline beliefs, showing such a human side to himself. And he bonded very much with the family over time. And that obviously very much, you know, softened some of his hard ideology. So, yeah, I was surprised to see that. But I should also add that, you know, these people are cast by the film company. We went through a number of different applicants for the immigrant family, and we purposely wanted to have a family and not, for example, a single adult male or a couple, or even a couple. We had a couple there we considered that had like 2-year-old kids, a 1-year-old and 2-year-old who couldn't speak. And we were interested in finding a family who had a range of kids, so you could see how this issue affected people from adults all the way down. And the same thing with Frank. We interviewed a number of people before we saw Frank, and Frank was interesting because, one, he spoke Spanish, he had a Latin American background, and he was an interesting individual. But I guess to answer your question, I was very impressed with his humanity, the humanity that emerged from someone who has such hard ideological beliefs.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. One more question I wanted to ask you, Kim. Can you give us any updates? I guess it was 2006 whenever this documentary was filmed, is that right?
That's correct.
Can you give us any updates on the family and Frank and what's happened since the time of filming?
I can give you, I've stayed in contact with the Armida. She was 17 at the time, the girl going off to college. And I just heard from her last month, and I think she's either in her third or fourth year in college. She's going to college in Los Angeles, so she stayed in school. She's almost finished with her undergraduate degree. Her sister, younger sister, is in college, and her family, they all still live in that tiny little apartment. However, her father manages some other apartments across the way. So I'd say, all in all, they're doing well, and they're progressing along. Frank is, he went back, he stayed with the Minutemen, and I really haven't been in contact with him, but he did not leave the Minutemen. But I would say the experience definitely affected him.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Kim. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Sure. Can I add one thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to add one thing. You asked about the anthropological experience. I just want to say really quickly, when I live with this tribe, I live with a recently contacted tribe in Peru in the Amazon. We've been contacted about 2 years earlier. One of the interesting things about living with them is that they call themselves the Nahua, which means us, the people. And they treated anybody within that tribe very well, including visitors who were part of that tribe. And anybody outside the tribe, they called Dawa, which means the others, enemies, foreigners. And if you were Dawa, you were treated terribly. You were shot with bows and arrows. You had no human rights whatsoever. If you were Nahua, you were treated incredibly well, which is how I was treated. And I think that experience, you know, translated into 30 days into this and into the present, conflict right now with the whole Muslim situation, that I think rooted in our nature is this kind of Dawa Nahua, this us versus them nature, which I think having, you know, people live for hundreds of thousands of years in villages, that's not surprising. But I think this 30 days experiment was a way to bring the other into the sphere of the us and see if there's any commonality of understanding. So anyhow, just a little thought.
No, thank you very much for sharing that.
So that was my interview with Kim. It was a lot of fun talking to him. He's a very engaging personality. It's somebody I think would be really fun to bring to campus. There was something else interesting that happened, Christina, with our visit. After I finished my conversation with him, Kim started asking me about this course and how was it that we found out about his documentary. And I shared with him some of the work that you have been doing in getting Cornerstone off the ground and how you really came across this documentary and felt that it would work really well for our course. And so I told him more about Cornerstone. And then in some more casual conversation that we were having that was still being recorded, he shared with me a really interesting experience he had had recently, and I want to share it with you and get your reaction to it, okay?
Okay.
A few days ago, we went to, I know some friends, we went to a mosque here in Las Vegas. They had a large mosque here, and because of everything in the news and that kind of thing, it was they like an open invitation. And it was a big mosque, and it was mostly people from, you know, origin of Pakistan and different places, you know, American citizens. And it was kind of fascinating because they have Ramadan right now, and we went for the break, the breakfast of Ramadan, you know, after the sun goes down. And so everybody had that belonged to the mosque had brought, like, potluck. I mean, this was Pakistani potluck. But it was kind of, we were there about 3 hours and didn't know anybody there. And then we ran into these people, the nicest people you'd ever want to meet in the world. It was kind of fun. We left there and we exchanged phone numbers and cards and that kind of thing. And, you know, as soon as you left, you said, tell you that ancient tradition of breaking bread, you know, it's almost biblical. You know, what an effect that has is like, you could never have some of the problems you have right now, like the discourse about Muslims, if somebody just broke bread with each other. And once you, somebody invites you and you have food, it's like almost this really ancient tradition. There's just no way they can be your enemy after that. You know, something as simple as that. And I think Frank went through that process. You know, Frank and the family, they broke bread 3 times a day there. You know, they shared their food and that kind of thing. But anyhow, it's interesting. So
I thought that was a wonderful kind of story for Kim to share with us. And I felt like there were some really nice connections to be made between what he said and some of the things that you shared with us. What connections did you see?
Well, you know, at 10 o'clock, I was able to talk about this concept of hospitality. And I went a step further than I did at 1 o'clock. But it's something that I'd be really interesting. I'd find really interesting for us to talk about with our students, which is the idea not only of being a good giver of hospitality, but also a good recipient. You know, one of the things I felt that Frank George did so well in the episode was to really humble himself to the point of being able to be a guest in the home of the Gonzalez family and be a guest in the home of the family in Mexico and sleep on their floor and sleep and eat with them and to break bread with them. And, you know, when Kim talks about the importance of breaking bread, it's something that I think is crucial as we try to understand each other better. You know, that was one of the reasons why Frank was able to get to know the family and do so well with the family was because he spent every day, every night for 30 days with this family. And I feel that Kim is right. If we just spent more time breaking bread together, that it really would bring about more understanding between groups.
And I really like what you shared with us. I'm really happy you shared from the 10 o'clock lecture the idea that hospitality for Christians is not simply about us giving to people, like we're the ones that are serving other people. Certainly Christian faith is about service, but you're also raising for us the idea that for the Christian, the hospitality is also the ability for us to receive from people that we might be uncomfortable even receiving from.
You know, over and over again, my students, as I asked them to write stories of their own ability to walk in somebody else's shoes, would say things like, you know, I went hoping to minister to this group of people, but in the end, they ministered to me. And I feel like that's a really important concept for us to understand. It's so easy for us in our, you know, our middle America kind of culture to think that we have something to give and give and give and that there's nothing that we could receive from somebody that we're helping. And I think that that's something that we really need to understand is that we can also receive so much, if not more, from these kinds of service experiences than they do.
That's excellent. Well, Christina, I want to thank you very much for coming into the studio today and for listening to this interview.
Thank you, Vic.